So I am calling the regular board meeting of June 30th to order. Roll call, please.
Lozinski?
Here.
Kraft?
Here.
Fanouken?
Here.
Winter?
Here.
Dr. Stoll is absent.
Okay. Just stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I welcome all of our visitors here today. Thanks for coming. Okay, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Kraft?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Fanouken?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
And this is the time that we allow a hearing of the public. Anything related to an agenda item? No one that wants to talk? Okay. We have our minutes from May 22nd, which the board members have reviewed. So if there are any additions or corrections at this time, none, then please say aye for approval.
Aye.
Aye. Any dissents?
Nope.
Okay. And at this time, we have Kathy Maxwell to give us an update on the gifted standards.
For taking just a few minutes to go through some of our updates for the gifted standards. In March, I attended a meeting with Becky Kowalski. We learned about what some of the changes were going to be beginning July 1st. So again, just wanted to go through a few items with you. So our old standards, which were rolled out, I think, in 2009, really focused on essentially three things: the screening and identification plan, if a student was identified gifted, what services we provided, and then it also kind of scripted what the minutes, instructional minutes with a gifted intervention specialist, and also what their caseload should look like. For the new standards, they added a few additional items. They added the parent notification, professional development requirements, and equal access. So I'm going to just go through a few things with you. I am not going to go through our current service model. It is rather detailed, but I did provide a copy of that for you. Goals. This year, obviously with Carol Froelich retiring in December, I've spent a lot of time focusing on our gifted model and how we provide services for our students here in the district. For screening and identification, our big goals that Alex and I are going to focus on is we're going to make sure that all students have access to fair testing practices. This is something that's very important because we have students that English is not their primary language, or students, they may have a disability, and occasionally we would perhaps not provide a translator because it's difficult to find translators for different dialects. So we want to make sure that next year, moving forward, that we are, when we give our COGAT or our gifted screeners in various grade levels, that we're providing, again, fair opportunities for all students. The second item is to improve our gifted screening and identification practices for visual and performing arts. Since I've been here, I don't think we've really identified any students in fine arts. So that's something that Alex and I, again, will be working on for our service model. On the next slide, I provided the details for you. We are going to update how we are providing services for our students in all grade levels. And then we're going to revise our written education plans, as well as we have to create a professional development plan to help support our general education teachers that now have to write written education plans. So on this page, again, without taking up too much of your time, Alex and I have to review this with our gifted intervention specialists, especially at the elementary, because it is a little bit of a shift from what we're currently doing. And so I don't want to say that this is set in stone, but it is a proposed service model. So Alex and I, in the next few weeks, are going to sit down with, again, our gifted intervention specialist at the elementary to make sure that we're able to meet the proposed changes. If everything works out as far as minutes and we have appropriate staff, this is the increase. We're essentially going from serving about 420 gifted students to about 670 gifted students. So you can see the blue is what we're currently providing services for, and then the red is what it would look like next year.
Excuse me, Kathy, what were those numbers again? We're currently...
It's like 420 students, and then next year it'll be 670, roughly.
Wow, that's huge.
It is.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Additional changes. So the state is requiring 30 professional development hours per year for every student, or every teacher that teaches a gifted student, and we have to update our professional plans so that we have a goal to address the gifted population. Equitable access, I already discussed that, and then parent notification. If previously we did not serve, for example, our kindergarten and first grade students, in the current changes in the operating standards, we would have been required to send an annual letter home to those parents stating that your child has been identified gifted, but that we do not provide services for them. So those are some additional changes to the operating standards. Questions? Again, big picture, when something comes from the state that we have to change, just trying to provide an overview for all of you.
You mentioned gifted for fine arts, something that the district has never approached. What does gifted for fine arts look like? And special needs folks, potentially.
Dual exceptionalities.
Right, could be gifted in a particular area, and I might take that question a little bit further in that way.
So how the screening and identification process works for students for fine arts is we have, we do screen our students, or our music teachers and art teachers will send me a list of students that they think are could potentially be tested for to meet the gifted criteria for visual performing arts like music. But then we really haven't gone to that next step, that next level, and actually brought somebody in to test them. There's a specific rubric that we're required to use. So that's something. I think we only have one student in the district that has been identified gifted in the performing arts. We don't have, and I know what our music program is in the district. We probably have more than just one.
Yeah.
So that's something that, again, I think we need to move forward with and increase what we're doing for screening and identification.
Okay, from the 420 to the 670, that's quite an increase. Where is the bulk of that increase coming in? How could you just elaborate a little bit on why it's coming about?
I think the biggest changes would be in kindergarten and first grade. So we're looking at the regular classroom teacher with the support of the gifted intervention specialist will be providing services within that classroom. So they won't be working directly with a gifted intervention specialist, but the teacher will have professional development and will be able to differentiate learning activities within their classroom. And that is quite appropriate for a general education teacher to provide gifted services. The other big shift is at the middle school. So for the first time, we're offering advanced science in grades 7 and 8. So those are new courses, and all of our gifted students will be placed in those. The following year, we're looking at offering advanced social studies at the middle school. So that's probably the bulk of the shift in numbers.
What does that do to the rest of the courses that generally were heterogeneously grouped for science and social studies?
All of the gifted student, gifted identified students are in those, but we also have students that have not been identified in those areas that have been placed, and that has just been managed at the building level. So parents requested their child to be placed in that advanced science class seven, advanced science seven or eight, and we have, I think, two sections in seventh grade and two sections in eighth grade. So, again, you don't have to be gifted to be placed in those courses at the middle school. But we've never, according to the state, provided services for science and social studies at the middle school, only reading and math.
Okay.
And we have a number of students that have been identified gifted in science.
So it'll only be the students identified as gifted in the science course?
No, they're already clustered in there, but there are other students that are not identified gifted also enrolled in those courses.
Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you. And then you had mentioned, you know, I know you and Alex are, you know, looking forward. I think it's very exciting that Alex is going to be the director of K through six, is it?
K-6.
Yes.
K-6 learning, so yay.
I know.
For you.
Thrilled.
Will you be working at the committee level too with teachers, parents involved in some of that design?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We are going to have to update our handbook and looking to do that in the fall.
Yeah,
so we'll have our gifted committee, and we'll probably have to have some new members as part of that committee, so we'll revisit that, yes, absolutely.
We're adding an additional position that would be a stipend position for this year. It's going to be Becky Kowalski is going to be a point person for gifted, and so we're going to add that stipend on there, and I think it's 150 hours.
About 5 hours a week.
5 hours a week to have committed to this sort of work. And one of the things we want to do is have that balance so that all of the decisions aren't coming from central office, but you also have people in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And we really believe that elementary is the area where we wanted to have that targeted, and we thought Becky would be a wonderful person to bring in and be able to get that, and I know, I think Kathy maybe even said it, she sat with Becky for a period of time yesterday as well.
Oh, wonderful.
Putting a lot of things together.
Yeah,
so
she'll be an asset to the whole structure that you're setting up.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of this, and I know the talk is the state, you know, is saying different things, but it's also an internal thing to where we want to do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that component as well. When we look at the type of services, we don't like the fact that K and 1, the students in kindergarten and first grade, there isn't that model in place, and there hasn't been that model in place to where now you have something to where you are making sure that the classroom teachers are getting the information to be able to differentiate with the gifted students.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. Mm-hmm. It's good.
And I did meet with the other gifted intervention specialist in May and looked at their numbers, and we reviewed the spring referral information. So I feel very comfortable with the proposed change, but I just want to make sure that Alex has an opportunity to look at it and to meet with the gifted intervention specialist before I say this is going to be the change. So
we no longer have one person that's known as the gifted coordinator.
Actually, Becky will be our gifted coordinator, if you will, based on the state. You know, so she'll help complete some of our state data, because she is. You have to have a master's degree, 3 years of teaching experience, and a gifted certification to be the gifted coordinator. And I don't meet that criteria, no, it doesn't either. So, and Becky, as all of you know, I mean, teacher of the year, she's fabulous, and I've spent a lot of time either on the phone with her, or yesterday she was in my office for a couple of hours going through some things.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's done a wonderful job supporting our gifted students at Bassett. So.
Right. Anything else?
Questions?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So Alex and I will be reviewing any changes in the fall. Changes. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Hopkins, we are at Treasurer's recommendations.
Before my recommendations, if I could actually just give a couple quick updates, also related to the recommendations, and I'll go through each one for the board. But first and foremost, I know the state budget has been recently approved by the Senate, and I believe it has also gone through conference committee and is now in the governor's office, which frankly is a good thing because it is due by today for funding for the new fiscal year for the state starting tomorrow, similar as our fiscal year. And I appreciate the board meeting with us today in order to close our books out for the year. They also have a fiscal year starting tomorrow, so I expect the governor to be going through the budget currently, and then he is under law allowed to do line item vetoes. The budget as it currently stands, as my understanding of it being passed, is what we had initially planned for when we did the five-year forecast in May, where we have a loss of roughly $40,000 to $50,000 in foundation formula. Now, our foundation funding is right around $2.5 million, so that's about $40,000 to $50,000 of that $2.5 million will be lost. Additionally, and quite frankly, more importantly, we will have the complete loss of the tangible personal property tax. And that is, between the tax and the supplement, $1.4 million approximately. The good side of this is we have planned for this. It was part of the forecast. We have planned for it in the forecast. We opted to take a conservative approach in creating the forecast and did not account for that money coming in, okay? So it's not going to have a direct impact on our forecast. The bad side of it is it's nearly $1.5 million lost that was initially, or that has been paid by the state, and now ultimately will get pushed back on the local taxpayers if something's not done. The reason I stress if something's not done is, you know, there's still opportunities to do things. 2 years ago, the state had put in the tangible personal property supplement. It was line item vetoed by the governor during the budget bill, and the legislative branch put it back in through Senate Bill 208, which implemented that supplement for a two-year time period. So our legislators still have an opportunity to do something if they so choose. So I would encourage people still reaching out. I appreciate the PTA who has printed some of the postcards and letters and sending that out. I appreciate you working with us to do that. I think it's important that we reach out as much as we can, and you know, if we don't advocate for ourselves, no one is going to advocate for us. So we need to take the opportunity and at least try and see if we can get some of that funding level back, because again, if it's not paid by the state, it ultimately will get pushed back to our taxpayers and specifically our homeowners, as we will need funds at an earlier time period than if the state was paying that, continuing to pay that supplement. So that's where we are with the budget. We'll know more as it goes through the governor's office. In fact, I even know that the legislator, it's slipping me, I believe it was maybe Senator Faber, who's in charge of the legislature, has directed the Senate to be ready to have special meetings next week, as early as next week, in order to address line item vetoes. So I know they're going to be going back into session very, very quickly in order to address concerns out of the governor's office. You know, so again, we can reach out and try to get something put in place in order to continue that tangible personal property. That's the big piece for us. Before I go into what's on the agenda here, I want to just make two notes. One is I know many of you know Pam Dreher. Pam is retiring today. It's her last day in the district. I wish her the very, very best. It's been a pleasure working with her for the past year, and I know she has been in the district quite a bit of time, and she will be missed. I want to congratulate her on her retirement and wish her the very best. Additionally, as I've reported to the board earlier this week, Kim Katz in my office has put in her resignation. She is leaving the district after 14 years to pursue a career advancement. And it has been truly a privilege working with her. She is extremely capable, extremely qualified, and does just a ton of work in the treasurer's office. and the quality of the work that she does is really second to none. And she will truly be missed, but I wish her the very best in her career. And you know, it's going to be hard to fill that position for us. But that position will be posted. I've opted to wait after the holiday just because I don't know if a whole lot of people are paying attention with the holiday and stuff. So we'll get that up middle of next week and look to fill that as quickly as possible. Kim will be leaving us on July 19th.